Good evening, welcome back to Ulcerative Colitis Motherhood and Me. I'm Ulcerative Colitis Mama, and tonight's episode I kind of want to delve into body image. It's something that affects us all in one way or another, and I feel that it's always something that's been a bit of a personal issue of mine as well, and just sort of that never really truly being happy with myself. And this has kind of emerged basically as I've just seen the proofs for my wedding photos, and the awful thing is they're fantastic photos, they're great, they capture every single moment, and they've helped me relive those precious moments of my wedding day that I don't really remember that much, on the account of being so nervous and just kind of being so wrapped up in the moment that, you know, you blink and it's gone. But there are a few photos that I wasn't that happy about. And it's no fault of the photographer. It's no fault of anybody. But then the little self-esteem monster has come creeping back again and sort of testing my sort of self-worth on that level. And kind of not just that, it's my overall confidence as well, and how I struggle with that. So without further ado, let's get started with tonight's episode. Please note that the following episode may contain content that some listeners may find upsetting. Please be advised that there's a trigger warning in place around mental ill health, low body confidence, low self-esteem, and alcohol use. As always, listener discretion is advised. Now, it sounds quite horrible to think that you don't like your wedding pictures, and that's not true at all. I love my wedding pictures. They've immortalised one of the most special days of my life and the most incredible days of my life. I married my best friend, I married the love of my life, the father of my child. However, I, as gifted and as talented as the photographer is, I'm one of those people who isn't naturally photogenic. I would argue that I'm not photogenic at all. I feel that I'm best captured in certain lights, certain angles, certain, you know, sides, as I guess a lot of other people feel the same way. We all favour that, like, one side, that, you know, sort of more posed kind of photos. And some of the natural ones do reflect some of the issues I have with my body and my face. And I did feel a little bit conscious of it. I know in the past when I've seen images of similar kind of natures where I look like, I'm quite conscious about things like my nose. I've got quite a weak chin, which can often look quite large at times, and I have quite thin lips as well, so when I smile they kind of disappear, and often if I've gone out and whatever, I don't tend to smile showing my teeth, which, considering they took 4 years to get straight, is pretty bad, I know. But we all have our little ways of making ourselves in our minds feel that we look a certain way or look a little bit better, a little bit more aesthetically pleasing. And I know I don't see myself how other people see me. Other people see me differently. And even if you look in a mirror, you're never going to see what other people see of you. And I always keep that in the back of my mind that, you know, they don't see your flaws. You are the person that sees your flaws. And it's always that comparison to what you deem as more aesthetically pleasing to the eye. And, you know, it's taken me up into my 30s, my mid-30s, in fact, to kind of accept that there are parts of me that will never change, and you know, and in a way I have made peace with some of those things. In terms of my size, my body composition is different to how it used to be 6-7 years ago. You know, pre big G, little G. And I'm older, my metabolism's going to change, I'm not exercising as much as I used to, I'm eating more than I used to. So I can see, it becomes a bit of a cycle, because then I blame myself. Because in my mind, it's my fault that I'm the shape and size that I am now compared to how I was before. I also have to accept that I have a autoimmune disease which may have an impact on that. I also have gone through mental ill health, which also has an impact on that. And I get very indignant about things. I don't like dieting. I don't. I find it restricting. I find it actually affects my mood, because I feel like I'm restricting myself from the things I enjoy and I like to eat. And particularly when I was very poorly the first time round before I was diagnosed with colitis, where I physically couldn't eat, because whatever I ate, partly, excuse the graphics, but went straight through me to the point where I was passing undigested food. It became very frightening. And for those few weeks, I barely ate anything, and I lost a heck of a lot of weight in a very short period of time. Between having little G and sort of my diagnosis, I'd lost over a stone in weight, which can account a lot for the pregnancy weight, the post-pregnancy weight. But I also lost, I was very, very anemic. I was sallow skinned. I was, my eyes had sunken, my hair started falling out. My nails were breaking. I was very weak. And the only thing I could drink was hot cordial, which I can't drink for the life of me now, because that was the only thing that stopped my body reacting the way it did. And I think once I'd got my treatment and I began steroid treatment, I started eating a lot more. And unfortunately, with drugs like prednisolone and other steroids, the weight unfortunately piles on, which in a way was good for me at the time, because I needed that weight to come back on. I was a breastfeeding mother. I needed that weight. Plus, I needed to get to a healthy sort of period as well. So fast forward, I did lose quite a considerable amount of weight in 2020, as probably a lot of people did, because the only thing we could do was exercise. And most of that was generally in the comfort of our backyards. And I did lost 21 pounds, which I was very pleased with at the time. However, looking back, did I enjoy the process of doing it? No, not really. And that's not to any sort of disrespect to my personal trainer at the time that devised this plan for me, which was a meal and exercise plan to run sort of alongside each other. And I got the results that I wanted, and she got the results she wanted in terms of her clients, you know, sort of making that achievement. But I found it incredibly restrictive. The first sort of 3 weeks of that plan were really hard, because not only did I have to drop my portion sizes, but I had to drop all the foods that naturally I would like. I have a sweet tooth and I love my carbs. and being on the same sort of bland meals for weeks, it was 12 weeks in total, but they did get less restrictive as time went on. And I couldn't have anything with sauces on or anything like that. So it was very dry food, very bland, very beige at times. And I got through it because I battled on and I battled on, and you know, I did get really good results, which can be seen on my Insta page. you know, so back in 2020. Looking back, you know, it was great to get those results, but I did not enjoy the process of it. It mentally, it probably wasn't very good on me. And it's hard because looking at my wedding photos now and kind of wishing I'd lost some weight beforehand. And that's awful to say because I got to a stage in my wedding planning where I thought, you know what? Screw it. This is me. This is what I look like. This is the figure I have now. This is the shape I am now. I'm healthy. I'm happy. I'm very much content with life. What's a few added pounds? And to be honest, even if I'd lost that weight, if I chose to, it probably wouldn't have altered some of the images that I saw in terms of my weak chin, where it looks as though I've got more than one. And things obviously like my nose, I can't do anything about that. And I can't do anything about my lips either. Not without sort of interventions, shall we say. And I do, and I it does kind of trigger some of the issues I have with body image and the way I look. And I thought, you know, I should feel my most beautiful on my wedding day. And in some ways I do. In some ways I'm trying to fight off that little bit of disappointment, and that little bit of resentment towards myself. And at the same time, I've got to account for things that I've had to endure over the process of planning the wedding, that other things have happened too. Again, not using things as an excuse, but several things had happened in the space of booking our wedding to getting to our wedding day. And I don't particularly, I don't really have any other vices. I don't smoke. I've never done drugs, never want to. And I drink periodically. So my vice, I guess, is food. And that's something I can control. And I think from experience of when I was at university, and having free access to alcohol in so many ways, that was kind of more of a vice then. And certainly when I was depressed, in that particular part of my life, alcohol was not good for me. So I'm always conscious of that, and I'm always very aware of my limits now with alcohol. And I guess that's probably why I go to things like food instead. Because in my mind, maybe somewhere in the recesses of my psyche, it's the lesser of the evils in some respects. And I think, sure, well, like I said, if I'd lost the weight and things, would I be looking for other flaws that I could pick out and critique for myself? And yeah, I probably would. There would probably be another handful of things that I would critique about the way I looked. And it's sad, really, and I don't know if it's just me, if it's just a me thing, or if it's a societal thing, if it's a psychological thing, who knows? But I don't want to overshadow, I don't want these little niggles of doubt to overshadow what was an incredible day and I have fun, and I felt absolutely elated, and I got to share those that precious day with those I love the most. And it's hard when you have issues with your self-esteem and your confidence, that even then, even at that time of your most contentedness, if that's a word, you're still ready to critique yourself and criticize yourself, and it's hard to shake off too. And I don't want to move forward in life looking at my wedding photos and thinking I wish I'd done something about it. And you know, on the other hand, it could be that this is the wedding blues. This is now I've had access to my wedding photos, and although I haven't had them physically yet, I've had like an online kind of portfolio sent to me from my photographer. Is it because I've been waiting for the photos to look at them and enjoy them that I haven't hit the wedding blues yet because I've had something else to look forward to? And now they're there, it's like, oh, this is it. It makes you wonder where it all started. Are we genetically programmed into hating ourselves? Is it a societal issue where women are incredibly self-critical, and because we don't look a certain way or fit a certain algorithm, that's us deviating from that, therefore we must be ugly, fat, unattractive, whatever. And they're not words I like to use. And I am very aware that I am very self-critical, and that's in every part of my life. And a lot of time I use humour to mask it. Because humour is my defence mechanism. I'm almost a bit like Chandler from Friends. I kind of used humour when I feel uncomfortable, and when I feel that if they take the mick out of myself, if I sort of bully myself, then I don't feel as hurt when people try it either. If I laugh at myself, it's okay. When really I'm probably doing myself some more damage that I'm just not aware of as much. And you know, I'm a mum now, I'm a wife now, I'm an adult, I'm in my mid-30s, for all intents and purposes, I'm in an incredibly privileged and happy place. I'm physically well, I am mentally well, and yet there is always something, and I always feel like there is always something trying to claw at me from somewhere, and I start looking at what it is and what can I do about it to change it. Is it work? And that's something that's been a complete bone of contention for some time. Because in all honesty, I'm not enjoying my job at the moment. Don't get me wrong, I love the people I work with. Absolutely love them. They are by far an extension of my family. I probably spend more time with them than I do my actual family. And I love them like family most of the time. You know, there are some people I probably don't gel with as much, but overall, I love the people I work with. But the last sort of few months have been quite tough going, and as a organisation, as a big, you know, the largest organisation in Europe, working for the NHS is getting harder and harder. Now, I don't want to go on my soapbox about, you know, what's going on in current affairs, because I didn't want ulcerative colitis, motherhood and me to be about that. it's hard to kind of avoid politics at times because it feeds into so much of what we do. But, you know, I always kind of try and keep a safe distance from that because it causes, unearths a lot of issues, and it is like opening several cans of worms. And, you know, it's not something I'm quite, you know, it's not something I want on my platform, in that sense. But I think that's the biggest cause of my loss of confidence lately. And it's hard because there was an opportunity for me to apply for somewhere on a promotion in a specialism. Not that I would probably get it again, already going to the self-criticism. But there's an opportunity. And I'm in very much two minds or more about what I do about it. Now, part of me is quite happy to stay in my current role with a very, very small chance of promotion. But staying with what's familiar, the same sort of, you know, doing the same job, getting a bit of variety, meeting different people. But then it's also taking on more responsibility, and not really having the same job satisfaction as I once used to. Now, I've been in this role for 5 years, and like I said, the people I love work with, I love absolutely. And I probably share more with my work colleagues and work friends than I probably do with my own family. And I guess because we spend so much time together and we're united in that feeling of deflatedness and despondency. And I wonder if that's having more of an impact on my life than I'd care to admit. And that's probably where I'm lacking in that confidence, because there's part of me, it's holding me back. My confidence is, or lack thereof, has always held me back. Because it's that sense of never feeling good enough. And that started way back before I started my training. And it carried forward through that, especially when it hit a few bumps along the way. And this other job that I've been looking at, if I was successful with it, would probably open so many doors for me and would probably give me a better work-life balance, would probably open more doors in terms of career prospects and things. But in the back of my mind is there's still no place like home, right? And that's something I've got to think about. I also don't want to feel like I'm betraying the people I work with by applying for another role. There's another part of me that's, well, why don't I apply and see how far I get? And then, because as my wise old mother would say, you can only regret the things you've never done. And that's something that's kind of stuck with me. And it is, it's a specialism that I used to do years and years ago, or very similar to. And in a way, I find it a little triggering, because the beginning of my career nearly ended my career. Not through anything awful that I'd done, but through my confidence. I was about to jack in 3 years of my degree, because once they put you in that blue uniform, you're on your own. And once you're registered as a healthcare professional, it's very lonely, especially when you do make mistakes and people don't support you. And I wonder if that would not be a wise choice for me to apply for a specialism that may remind me of a not so good past. But there's no harm in trying. So I'm at that kind of rut at the moment, and there's a lot of things I'm unhappy about in my current role that I just can't see changing anytime soon. And it's so hard because I don't want to leave, but part of me doesn't want to stay. And I don't know. Something's got to give, I guess. So I think that's what's causing me a lot of confidence issues as well, because I don't feel like I'm good enough to leave either. But then I'm not good enough to stay, and I'm not good enough for a promotion. I always joke that, especially before I got married, that I was always the bridesmaid and never the bride in terms of being considered for progression in my career. Over the years, I've kind of tried to put it down as that I'm just good on the ground, that I'm good as being one of the grunts and being, you know, on the shop floor, as they say. But when you try not to compare yourself to others, it is quite hard, because most of the people I qualified with are now in more senior roles than me. And even most of my previous student nurses have superseded me, and developed brilliant careers. And a part of me is happy, is really, really happy for them, because I feel that along the way I helped there somewhere on their journey into becoming nurses. I just feel a little sad that I feel like I'm lagging behind sometimes. And sometimes it's quite nice, because the lower down you are, the less responsibility you have. But I don't know. I'm not happy with that side of my life at the moment, and that's quite a big part of my life, but it isn't my life. So we shall see. And weigh up things and weigh up the pros and cons, really. But I think I lack confidence because I just don't have faith in myself. And I know that frustrates a lot of people. It frustrates Big G sometimes, because he says you just let people walk over you, and he doesn't mean it in a mean way. He's right. He's very observant. And he says I give too much of a shit, which is probably true. And I think because I overthink everything, that sometimes it's easy to just not taking risks. And I don't take risks, you see. So that's why, like, career-wise, I'm sort of bumbling along. And just things like, I just wonder that because I'm not particularly outspoken or anything like that, that I kind of shrink into the background a bit more. I mean, my new boss, my new line manager, has asked me about 4 times if she's already met me. And I get she's got a big team of people, but it kind of just makes you wonder, well, maybe I am still one of the invisibles after all. Which is, something I'm not unfamiliar with. I always consider myself a little bit invisible, which is okay sometimes. Keeps you out of trouble. But it also doesn't make you noticed. So story of my life. But yeah, it's all sort of, I think the more I do these podcast episodes and the more I sort of explore these thoughts and feelings that I have and these experiences I have, the more I sort of think, well, they are kind of all interlinked somehow. And I just wonder, the lack of confidence I felt looking at my wedding photos probably stems from a lack of confidence in general, where I don't feel very confident in certain aspects of my life, well, most aspects of my life, to be honest. And that's why I've probably never taken many risks and, you know, done many sort of impulsive things in my life. And when I have done, they've kind of gone a bit all awry, really. And hence why, I guess, when I was my low points when I was at university, I did take more risks. They weren't very good. I mean, nothing bad happened, but it could have done, because I took risks in the wrong places. So, for example, you know, I would get very, very drunk. I would probably fall out with the girls I was out with, which happened a couple of times. And it wasn't necessarily that I fell out, it was that I'd get too drunk to the point where I used to get emotional and I'd get very paranoid. And they would basically say things like, well, just go home. You know, Lauren, you're drunk, go home. And I did, on a few occasions, walk home in a city on my own. And it wasn't a particularly big city where I lived at the time, you know, and it wasn't an unsafe city, but it was still a city. It was still somewhere I didn't live, and I was still very much on my own and vulnerable. And I would. I also used to hide a lot as well. So if I felt that people didn't want me around, I used to go and hide, which sounds really juvenile, but I think I really took on the words of my stepdad when he said, if you feel like you're not going to win in a situation, you retreat. He's an ex-military man, and that's kind of something that's always stuck with him, and I used to retreat quite a lot. And I remember feeling really miserable one day, and I actually climbed out my bedroom window. I lived in a ground floor flat, and I hid in the courtyard under my window for about an hour. And Big G was coming up to visit that weekend, and he couldn't figure out where I'd gone. And it worried him a little bit. Which, looking back, was incredibly irresponsible and childish, because that caused Big G to worry about something that he probably shouldn't need to have worried about. But I didn't, for those, probably about a year after I left university, before coming home and redoing the course, you know, making up the course 12 months later, I would get into these sort of, you know, depths where I did feel that I needed to hide, that retreat was the best defence in some regards. And yeah, running away from my problems, essentially, which I tend not to do now, because I have more responsibilities and greater responsibilities. But it is that, again, that lack of confidence, that lack of self-worth. And I really wish I knew how to be confident. I work with some amazing confident women who I both admire and envy, because they're a lot younger than me and they're so much more sure of themselves. And I wonder, why can't I be like that? Why can't I be confident? Why can't I just have faith in what I say and believe and do? Because everything I do, especially within my role, has to be evidence-based, has to be, you know, within law, it has to be justified. And yet I still feel, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? And it's incredibly frustrating, being an overthinker, being somebody who suffers with anxiety and doesn't take risks. And then, you know, just lacking that confidence to be able to kind of do something with your life in that respect. I have no major hobbies in terms of having hobbies with other people. All the hobbies I seem to have are quite self, and quite isolated. So apart from obviously going out and socialising with friends and things, I don't have any hobbies that involve generally leaving the house. No, but apart from that, you know, I did enjoy going to the gym and things. But again, I haven't done so in probably about 5 months. So, you know, again, that's going to be another kind of catch-22 situation where I'm not enjoying myself because I'm not doing things because I don't enjoy them. And it's kind of just that constant, you know, hamster on a wheel situation. And it's really exhausting. It's really exhausting having no confidence in yourself, because there's a little voice in the back there going, but you know what you're talking about. You know what you're doing. You know what you're saying. Just say it. And it's, you know, I don't like confrontation. I don't like challenging. And when I do challenge, I get upset or I get angry, but I get so angry that I cry. And it's just, I just feel like I can't deal. And then if I do speak up, I sound probably too aggressive in terms of people don't expect it from me. And then they think it's out of character for me. And then it's, again, becomes another criticism. So it's hard, and I want to be able to flourish somewhere, and I want to be able to be a confident person. And in some ways I am, but in many, many ways I'm not. And it's hard. And I don't know what the solution is. Personality transplant, maybe. Who knows? Yeah, I joke about things like personality transplants and things, and I think that's still quite a critical view of myself, because it feels like it's something I need to do to change, to stop myself feeling this way. But I guess part of me has to move on. And I don't know what it is. I think it's because I feel so strongly about things that, you know, the reoccurring word that I keep putting in my mind these last couple of weeks has been the word pathetic, which is a very horrible word to use. I get that, and I would never use that to somebody else. I'd never call somebody else pathetic because they don't like confrontation or because they don't feel that they are progressing in their career or they feel that they're too scared to make change. Yeah, it's okay for me to say that to myself, which is probably just as damaging as if somebody else said it to me. And I just wonder, why is it always defaulting to being quite negative about myself, even when the last couple of months, the last few weeks even, I felt more content in my life than I've ever felt, because I feel like I feel part of something now. I feel officially part of my own family unit, and I feel very secure for the first time in my life that I feel ultimately secure. Whereas I always felt secure in my relationship with Big G. I think in my mind, and I know it doesn't account for everybody else, it's just a personal preference for me, but for in order to us, you know, 19 years into our relationship to get married, that to me is a very big gesture. The biggest gesture Big G has, you know, made with me since little G was born. So, you know, or since we had, you know, since, you know, we decided to try for a family. So in some ways I feel incredibly stable and secure because I've got my little bubble now. And I feel part of something bigger because I'm part of his family officially too. However, there is still that element of me that is unhappy with myself because I don't mirror the traits of more confident, more, you know, arrow straight people that go for what they want and get it. Whereas I sit there on the sidelines like a wallflower, wondering what went wrong. And I'm not a shark. I've never been a shark. I don't have the personality for that. And the people I know that have gone out and got their way and got where they've needed to go in their life are not sharks either. They're just very sure of themselves, but in a positive way, that they're not arrogant. They're just incredibly self-confident. And I wish I was like that. I just wonder how different my life would be if it was. Yeah, it's me that holds me back. And much to the detriment of myself. But even I've had people say to me, if you could just be more confident, you would be good at this. Story of my life. If you were more confident, you know, whether it was my French GCSE oral exam or whether it was my, you know, just my love for music, whether it was my wanting to be a performer, my life may have changed very, very much. The path of my life may have gone a very different way. But at the same time, I quite like the peace of, you know, not having responsibility, but not being, just knowing where I am. Familiarity is good. It's safe. And I live in safe, and that's where I always have been. And I don't know, I mean, this could take a whole new episode in itself to pick apart the pieces of why I feel this way. And it could stem from the very dysfunctional upbringing I may have had, which essentially isn't that dysfunctional when you look at, you know, X, Y, and Z of other people's lives. But then, who knows? Who knows? It could be a million and one things that have led me down this path of being safe, being cautious, overcautious, overthinking. Honestly, I would be a psychiatrist's dream. Freud would love me. So, you know, where do I go from here now? There is a big part of me, there's a little, quite a big indignant part of me that thinks, you know what, stuff it, let's just go for it. Let's just ride or die. And do what I got to do. And yeah, if I apply for this job, doesn't necessarily mean I'll get shortlisted or that I'll get the job. But it may give me that confidence boost to think that I'm worthy of it. That, you know, I might be pipped to the post by somebody more qualified, more personable, more friendly, who knows. But I won't know until I try, right? And am I going to be sat there in work in a few months down the line wishing I'd taken that job or wishing I'd applied for it? You know, that might be the confidence boost I need. And only I can have the answer to that, right? It is hard. And it's really, really hard to kind of challenge yourself when you are lacking in confidence because you are constantly second guessing every decision you've ever made and every will make. Whereas some people are like, you know what, I'll make the decision now and I'll just deal with the consequences of it further down the line. And I just wish I was more like that. But I worry about consequences because I'm a worrier, because I'm an overthinker. And it could literally, I could be in this cycle forever and ever and ever. And I still be second guessing myself anyway. I could be sat here and picking every aspect of my being for hours and hours and hours, and I probably still won't find any answers. So, you know, it's one of those deep kind of philosophical questions, really. Because confidence essentially is something that ekes into every part of our life, doesn't it? Whether it's your career prospects, your family, your relationships, your social life, your interests, your education, whatever, your health maybe. And, you know, that's probably a story for another day. But, you know, I just wonder why it's held me back so much and why I continue to let it, why I continue to kind of go, oh, actually, I don't like this. I don't like this discomfort. I want to go back to the comfort and safety and security of what I know already, and not challenge myself. And there are certain things I have challenged myself with, and I think, you know, I did it and I got through it, and or I did it, got through it, and it didn't work out, but I tried it anyway. And maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I just need to kind of dip my toes in now and again. So, you know, I've left a lot to unpack again. But I am going to use this opportunity. I'm on annual leave this week, and me and Big G are going to go on our mini moon. So I'm hoping for a lot of rest and relaxation. So we're heading up north. We're heading up to Cumbria for a couple of days. Just the two of us. So I'm looking forward to it and just enjoying time together as a couple. A married couple now, I should say. And off to a concert again tomorrow. I'm off to see one of my favourite bands, and I'm absolutely stoked to see again. So I'm off to see Rise Against tomorrow, so, you know, that's going to be something to look forward to and enjoy, and hopefully get the front row again. So let's see. But otherwise, as always, guys, you know, anything I've discussed, you know, discussed tonight, anything I've talked about tonight, has all been very much a personal look at myself more than anything. It's not a generalized look at other people. It's not what is and what shouldn't be. It's nothing like that. It's basically me philosophizing on my own insecurities and own issues, and just trying to unpick why I have them. And please keep talking. You know, if you're not feeling great, talk to someone, whether it's somebody you're really good friends with, somebody you work with. Just keep that conversation going and talk about our mental health and break down that stigma, because then it becomes normal, and it people start talking openly about how they think and feel, and nobody's sort of churning inside with all these doubts and criticisms about themselves, because guaranteed not everybody sits there and thinks they're perfect, and nobody is. We're all human, and we're all trying to figure out this life thing together, aren't we, in one way or another. And as always, I have a useful links tab on my website, which is wordpress.com/ ulcerative colitis motherhood and me. There's just a few charities and helplines on there around certain things, sort of mental health, postnatal depression, and Crohn's and colitis, some information there. There are plenty of charities out there: the Blurt It Foundation, Mind, Calm, Papyrus, so many. Talk to your healthcare professionals, talk to your friends, your colleagues. Just get that conversation started. And a problem shared is certainly a problem halved. So, as always, stay safe, keep talking, lots of love, take care.